Three factors are involved in the decision for the lesson this morning. Number one, ago when I asked for suggestions, someone handed me a little card and suggested that we needed a lesson on evangelism and suggested the subject, you never mentioned him to me, and made some detailed suggestions of what might be used. Last week, when the Spiritual Sword came out, the magazine that our brother Alan Hires now edits, there was an article in it entitled The Greatest Need Facing the Church, written by Dan Jenkins, who's a minister in Florida and the father of our own Gary and Jonathan Jenkins. Two or three statements in this caught my attention and contributed in the second place to the decision for the lesson this morning. The question is asked, whatever happened to the evangelistic nature that characterized the church just a few years ago? This statement, our greatest need is to restore to the church the fervor for lost souls that was in the hearts of the early Christians. Evangelism was not limited to sermons in a building. It took place in the homes of this nation. And then at the end of the article, this appeal is made. That's an appeal that I think we need to make to ourselves today. Let us return to the view our fathers had of the church. Let us restore the spirit that once caused us to be the fastest growing church in America. Let us never be content until we have captured the love of the lost that was found in those early Christians. I appeal to you to be determined that nothing will ever cause you to lose sight of the greatest need in the church, the spirit of evangelism. And the third contributing factor to the decision for the lesson, what's in it this morning, comes from some of the verses that are in our reading.
We're reading and reading through the Bible. If you're reading the five chapters from the New Testament on Sundays and three from the Old Testament each of the other days, last Lord's Day you would have read Matthew 1 through 5, and today you'll be reading Matthew 9 through 10. Those chapters are full of statements that have to do with the idea of the evangelistic spirit. For example, in chapter 4, Jesus went out and began to choose his apostles. He told them, I want you to be different kinds of fishermen, or a different kind of fishermen. I want you to be seeking men and going out after men. In the ninth chapter that we'll be reading today, in the last part of that, Jesus talks about the field being white unto harvest. And he says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. And when we get to the end of the book of Matthew, as you well know, the Great Commission will end that book. And then that Jesus will give the marching orders to his disciples and his followers to go and teach, to tell other people about Christ and about the saving power that Christ has. One statement particularly that caught my attention in the fourth chapter of Matthew, I believe it's verse 24, says that the fame of Jesus was spread throughout the region, and in the easy-to-read version of the Bible, which has come out recently, there's just a simple statement in that verse that says the good news about Jesus was told throughout the region of Syria. The good news about Jesus was told throughout the region of Syria. Having said that, to give you an idea of the reasons behind the development of this lesson, I want to really introduce it by reading a song that we would have sung together had it been in our book, a song that I think is somewhat familiar to all of us, entitled, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, You never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard, help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, You showed me not the way, You never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes to Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray. Yet you never mentioned him to me. For just a moment, imagine that we're all before the judgment bar of Christ and that there is time for people to talk with one another before the judgment or at the judgment. I'm not for sure that that time will be there. But for the sake of our lesson today, let's just imagine that there is time. You're standing there before the judgment of God, and a person comes up to you and says, "You remember, I died as a baby because I was killed by a pit bull. You saw me about to go into that pen, and you knew that that dog was vicious, but you never mentioned it to me." Or suppose that there is another who walks up and says, "I died as a child. You remember that time I was sitting on the railroad track, and you saw me sitting there, and you saw that train coming, and you knew that it was going to run over me, and you never mentioned it to me." Another person says, "You remember that I was about to go into that house where there was a contagious disease, and you knew that it was very likely that I would catch it. You knew that it was possible that it was fatal, and you never mentioned it to me." Another says, "You remember, I was blind, and you knew me as a friend. And do you remember that time that I was walking out to the edge of the cliff, and you knew I was blind and couldn't see that, and you saw me, but you never mentioned it to me. I fell off and lost my life." Another says, "I died in a fire. Do you remember walking by my house that day and seeing that the house was on fire, and you knew I was in the house? And you knew that if I did not awaken and get out, that it would cost me my life, and you never mentioned that to me." Folks, I doubt very strongly, that either one of those five possibilities would ever be possible, really possible for any of us. I don't believe that there is a person in this audience tonight or today who, if he saw a little baby about to fall over into a pen where there's a vicious pit bulldog, would stand by and never mention it. I believe that there's not a one of us who's old enough to understand the situation who would stand by and watch a child sitting on the railroad tracks just sit there and be run over by the train. In fact, I rather imagine that most of us would even risk life itself, or maybe risk the loss of some limbs, as some have, to get a child off of the tracks before the train came. I doubt that there's a one of us who would not warn each other about a contagious disease. Would you stand by and let that blind man walk off the cliff and fall to his death because he couldn't see it or didn't know it was there? And if you saw me or someone else in a house that was afire, and you knew I was there and knew I didn't understand the seriousness of it, would you say, "I'm afraid I'll make him mad if I tell him about it. I think it's his business and I'll just let him find out for himself"? Or would you say, "You know, I don't know everything there is to know about a fire, and I'm afraid if I tell him the house is on fire, he'll ask me some questions I can't answer, and just stand by and let the fellow burn to death in the fire"? Oh, no. But there is one question that very likely may be asked many of us at the Day of Judgment. Not about the train or the pit bull or the bluff or the contagious disease or the house on fire, but by the person who is lost outside of Christ. And he looks us straight in the eye and says, "You saw me day by day. You knew I was astray. Yet you never mentioned him to me." I want to ask you a question for which I don't have the answer.
And I'm just as guilty as you are. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. Why is it that we would risk limb and life to take care of these five that I've mentioned, dealing with physical problems, and we won't take the time to mention a few sweet words about Jesus to the one who is lost? I don't have the answer to that question. I think none of us really has the answer, and yet we realize that it's a reality. You and I are bumping shoulders with people almost every day, people who are not Christians, people who are not ready to meet God at the day of judgment if today were to be the last day. Even those of you who are in school, in high school, in other schools, and in the college, know of those who are not Christians. Know of those maybe who are Christians who are not living as they should, and who are not ready if the Lord were to return today. Those of us that live here in Henderson know of people here in the city, maybe people that work in the stores and the offices here every day, that are not ready if the Lord were to return. We work in the plants and the industry and on the job with those who are not Christians. We know those on our own streets who are not ready to meet the Lord in the day of judgment. We talk to them about the weather. We ask them questions about their families and their welfare. We talk about Noriega and Panama. We share in the good news of the tearing down of the Berlin Wall and the smashing of the Iron Curtain. And yet we never get around to talking about something that's more important than all of these, the tearing down of the wall of sin by the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross and the shedding of his blood. Again, I suggest to you, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know how to explain that in my own life or in yours. But I do believe it's time that we paused and slowed down just a little bit and thought about this a little bit more. It may very well be that we are allowing ourselves in the work of the church to become so involved in different programs, programs that are good in and of themselves and programs that are needed, but involved in them so much that we lose sight and cannot see the forest for the trees, and fail to realize that our number one goal in the work of the Lord's church is evangelism. And somehow or other, it seems that we're missing the point that involves all of us in just going about mentioning Jesus to others. Think with me for a moment about that little statement, "You never mentioned him to me." The pronoun me in that statement is really referring to the lost. That's how it's used in that song and in that poem that was set to music. You never mentioned him to me. I was lost. I was astray. You knew I was astray, and yet you never mentioned him to me. That me may be in the form of the person who's never become a Christian. Maybe some, although there are not many in our area who would fit this category, maybe some who've not been taught about Christ and have not heard about him. But more especially in our area, those who have heard about him and have not dealt with him. Ephesians 2:12 describes a person who was out as without Christ, being an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. James 5:19 and 20 describe the person who is a Christian, a brother who's gone astray and has erred from the truth. And the description is that when we bring him back, we save a soul from death. That means he's in a condition where he's dead spiritually, and where his soul is in danger of being lost for an eternity. Those are the me's that we need to be mentioning the subject of Christ to them as we have opportunity and as we meet them. How many people of that nature have you mentioned Christ to in the last week? It may very well be that the reason is that we're not really convinced, I mean really convinced, that a person is lost without the gospel and without Christ. And that no matter what he may have in this world, no matter how many blessings, how many good things, that unless he is a Christian, in right standing with Jesus Christ that nothing else really matters. We're just not really convinced that a person without Christ is lost. And then there's that pronoun you in this little statement. You never mentioned him to me. Now you look at that word, Y-O-U, and I don't believe you can ever learn to spell it, just a minister or an elder or a few people. You don't spell Y-O-U-F-E-W. You spell it Y-O-U, and that really means each or everyone. We are allowing ourselves to come to the point that we think that a person has to be specialized in order to go out and teach people about Christ. I would not minimize in any way whatsoever the importance of learning the gospel and learning how to teach it. I'm thankful that we have classes of that nature. I'm thankful that we do some things to try to prepare special people to work in special ways. But that's not the emphasis that is placed in this statement here. The emphasis is on you. That means every disciple of Jesus Christ. That means every member of the Lord's body. That means every Christian. You never mentioned him to me. We cannot and we will not convert the masses from the pulpits. Preaching of the gospel from the pulpit is very important. We need to continue it. We need to preach God's word every chance we have an opportunity in a setting like this. But folks, the masses that need to be brought to Christ and need to be told about Jesus Christ are not inside the walls of this building this morning. They're outside in the community and in the world. And those who preach the gospel regularly, as important as we believe that is, those who teach our Bible classes, as important as that is, are never going to be able to accomplish this idea of evangelism. It's going to have to be done by you. And that you is the same idea as that ye. Go ye and teach all nations. That means every one of us. And then think about that little part of the statement, mentioned him. You never mentioned him to me. I don't know what you think of when you think of that word mention, but it sort of leaves the idea to me of just talking about something or telling about something. When you mention something, that usually you don't tell everything you know about it or everything that might be told about it. And there are many things that you and I might mention to each other that we don't understand everything about. But we understand enough to mention it, to bring up the subject, to tell somebody about the subject, to tell somebody to talk to someone about the subject, to at least get them interested in it, to let them know that we care about that subject. I believe that's the idea that's involved here, the idea of mentioning Christ. How much do you think Andrew knew about Christ when he came and said to Peter, I found somebody I want you to come and see? How much do you think Philip knew about Christ when he simply said to Nathanael, who'd raised some questions about Jesus and Nazareth, he just simply said three little words, come and see. Now, is there one among us who can't mention that much about Christ? Just come and see. I was impressed on our trip to Argentina and Brazil about the number of people that are mentioning Christ to others. First, let me tell you something that's a little bit amusing, but I think it emphasizes this point. When we were in Argentina, we stayed with Carrie and Lori Hadley, young couple that just graduated from college 2 or 3 years ago and are there working sort of as an apprentice, learning to do the work and hoping to serve as missionaries there, already serving in a capacity, but working under the others. They were telling me about a time a few weeks ago when they had a special series of lessons there at the building in Argentina. And they all got out on the street around the building there a few days before, handing out literature and inviting people to come. One man came up to Carrie, or at least they met on the street, and he was leading a big German Shepherd dog. And he was under the influence, evidently, of a spirit. Carrie handed him a piece of literature and invited him to come to church. And the man said, may I bring my daughter with me? He said, surely. The man pointed at the dog and said, "This is my daughter." Carrie said, "I didn't know what to say then, but I thought it was certainly appropriate to say, well, we'd like for you to come to the services." Well, sure enough, the man came to the services and he brought his daughter. They said they looked over on the seat and there was the man, his big German dog, sitting by him. And by that time, he was under a great deal of influence of a spirit. And they had to escort him from the service. But I thought that illustrated how these people are out on the streets. They're talking to everyone, inviting them to come to the service. Just come and hear about Jesus. They're just mentioning Christ to people. One thing that impressed me so much in Belo was to see how the folks there are working on an individual basis to bring people to Christ. Sunday morning of the 31st, and before you draw all your conclusions, listen to all of this, we went to the hippie fair on Sunday morning. Hippie fair in Belo is like the flea market here. They don't have their services till 4 o'clock in the afternoon there, so we went to the flea market. This is the one that's going to be moved near where the new building is, and the plans are to work this for the many of the Christians as can to come in on Sunday mornings and go out among the people, and the people are so thick that the only reason I could see where I was going is I was about that much taller than everybody else. And they're going to go among the people and talk with them and invite them to the services of the church. I began to notice as we were going from booth to booth Sunday morning 2 weeks ago today that Becky was always taking a little extra time. When we'd get through, we'd bought something. We had to depend on her to interpret, to pay for it. And when she'd get through paying for the items, I noticed she was continuing to talk to the person. And we found out what she was doing. Without exception, she was taking the time to talk to that person about Christ and to mention him to them and to invite them to the services of the church. And let me just add something in passing here that I think is very important. We've got two missionaries in the gates, F.H. and Becky. I don't know at the number of young ladies that when something was said about them, it said Becky invited this person and Becky taught this young lady. And almost without exception, there was a story about every member in that congregation, and the story somewhere involved not just our missionaries, but the other members. This young lady invited this one to come. This one brought this one to the services of the church. I saw something there I wish I could help you see. And I hope I can see it in such a way that it will have its effect upon my life as a Christian day by day. They are mentioning Christ to the people. They're convinced that people are lost. They're convinced that each one of them should, and they're convinced that each one of them can mention Christ to someone else. Did you notice in that third verse of that little song, that little verse, it says a few sweet words? That indicates that you don't have to know everything about the gospel to mention a few sweet words about Christ. Share with you two other incidents that happened in this country, one in Henderson. A few years ago, a young widow in the congregation where I was preaching came to me, and she said, "I work with a person who's not a Christian. I don't know how to teach them the plan of salvation as I think I should, but I've talked to them, and I've got them to agree to study. Will you go teach them?" We studied with that person, and I believe more than one, I don't remember how many now, obeyed the gospel, became Christians. I would have never met that person if it had not been for that young widow. She knew she couldn't answer all the questions that might be asked, but she could mention a few sweet words about Jesus and tell that person that they needed Christ and tell them that there was an answer and she could help them find that answer. Those souls were brought to Christ because of a few sweet words from a young widow who didn't really know a great deal about the gospel, but knew a little bit about Christ. A few days ago here in Henderson, one of our members called me and said, "We have a woman who's now working here in town who has two teenage sons." I was talking to her this week, and I asked her where she went to church, and she said, "Nowhere." And I said, "You need to come and meet with us at the Church of Christ. We have a wonderful youth program. We'd like to get your boys involved in it." The woman said, "We need something like that. Send somebody to talk to my boys." And Brian doesn't have the information yet, but he and those with him will be working on this. We probably would never have seen that, never heard about it, if it weren't for one of our ladies in the congregation here who had just a few sweet words to say. Just asking the little question, where do you go, do you go, would you come? A few sweet words in the name of Christ to tell people about Christ, to let them know that we care and to let them know that He cares, may be the answer. And out of this, souls may very well be saved. You never mentioned Him to me. We take the time to mention physical danger and can't find the time to mention spiritual danger. Folks, the growth of the church, the salvation of souls, is dependent upon this idea of believing that a person is lost outside of Christ, that every one of us can mention a few sweet words and just mention Christ to people. Introduce the subject. Be an Andrew, be a Philip, be an Aquila and Priscilla. Those who can be like Peter and Paul in preaching the gospel, but in some way mention Jesus Christ as the answer to people. And you can't do that unless you're right with Christ yourself. If you've never been baptized into Christ and you're not a Christian, you can't mention Christ to others in the real sense of the word and make it meaningful. Or if you have been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and you've gone astray and you're not living the Christian life, not trying your best to live right and to help people and to do the work of the Lord, you can't really mention Christ in the true sense and it have meaning. And so maybe the first step today is you're coming to Christ. You're coming to be baptized into Him, or you're coming to be restored, to get yourself ready to where you can go out tomorrow and mention Jesus Christ to others. We just need to learn to give a few sweet words about Jesus and to mention Him to others and let them know that He's the answer. I challenge all of us to determine to do our best day by day in doing that. And I challenge you particularly, if you're not a Christian this morning, to get yourself where you can mention Christ to others by coming as together we stand and sing.